Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Well, welcome back to my channel, commenting on what's happening in the politics of Northern Ireland, where the Ulster Unionist Party seems to be in its semi-annual leadership election after Mike Nesbitt announced he's stepping aside as leader of the party. So it's a small political party now. It's hard to believe that it ruled the roost in Northern Ireland politics for over 80 years. From the partition of Ireland, 1921. Even before that, they were unionists. They were an adjunct of the Conservative Party. And then right through the Stormont years, through the Troubles, through the post-Troubles, it was only in the noughties that the Democratic Unionist Party overtook them as the major party. And the UUP was so masterful, they were even known as the official unionists a lot of the time. Anyway, so Mike Nesbitt, a fairly effective leader, he's stepping down, okay? And now we've got John Burrows. He's a member of the Legislative Assembly representing North Antrim. He's seeking to be elected, and he's only been an MLA since July last year, and he wasn't even elected. He was co-opted because Colin Crawford left the Assembly, and they don't do by-elections for some reason. Anyway, so that's it. Well, they keep changing leaders. They had Robin Swan. I can't remember who else they had. Before that, there was someone called BT. Anyway, they've got only 9 members of the Legislative Assembly. I'm trying to think. There were 18 constituencies, is it? Five MLAs each, and so on. So they're not such a huge party. And this is the party of Edward Carson, of Viscount Craigavon, whatever, John Miller Andrews, not seen as highly successful Prime Minister, of the Viscount Brookborough. Who else was there? Obviously, Terence O'Neill. And various other figures, well, like Harry West, Jim Molyneux, and then there was David Trimble, Nobel laureate, but they seem to be really minnows at the moment. So, yeah, they're going to have to elect it from amongst their leader, possibly Diana Armstrong going. But, you know, will she support Butler? Will she support Burrows? We're not sure. Of the 9 Ulster Unionist MLAs, only one of them is a woman. So as for John Burrows, he was in the Northern Ireland Police Service for a full career, and he retired in 2021, and now he's entered public life and so on. So Colin Crawford, whom he replaced, he resigned because of a press communique that was sent out in his name after scuffles in Ballymena and so on. All right. So Diana Armstrong will be the only female MLA for that party. She's sought as a running mate, like deputy leader. So, and her father, I mentioned earlier, was Harry West. He was a Stormont MP, and it was leader of the Ulster Unionist Party from 1974 to 79, but he was never elected to Westminster. So that means it's ridiculous. How can we have that? Goodness. And even she wasn't elected as such. She was co-opted with Tom Elliott. He was made a peer of the realm. So she sits for Fermanagh and South Tyrone, where she gave up. And Harry West, her father, was known for his dictum, Fermanagh will never stand for that. So the Unionists wouldn't allow any concession because their position was one of such precarity and so on. Okay, so they think it would not be a good look if John Burrows were to be unopposed. They ought to have a real election. They've only got a few thousand members. So Robbie Butler, he's deputy leader at the moment. At least he's been in the Northern Ireland Assembly for a decade. Maybe he'd have more credibility. And so it might seem ridiculous that John Burrows has been an MLA for not even 6 months. But okay, he's reasonably old. He's not too old. He was highly successful in another career. He might have some credibility. The trouble is, it might really add to the perception, oh, the PSNI, they're just there for unionists. Obviously, you can be a nationalist and join, and they're made to be welcome there, and so on. But, you know, dissident Republicans are always saying the PSNI is just the RUC and whatever, and they would come up with that offensive, ignorant, outrageous chant, SSRUC in the old days. Of course, the IRA was very much on the side of the SS. The Second World War was virulently pro-Nazi. But that's another matter. So the Ulster Unionist Party is a shadow of its former self. And if you're an ambitious young person in a unionist outlook in Northern Ireland, the party to join clearly is the Democratic Unionist Party, because they stand a much better chance of being elected. And of course, they produced the last few first ministers and then deputy first ministers, since Sinn Féin is the biggest single party in Northern Ireland. So The blindingly obvious thing to do is for the Democratic Unionist Party and the Alcides Party to merge. I've been saying this for a decade. There's no need in this senseless duplication of resources. You have to spend on two headquarters and standing against each other. And OK, they tend not to put the most candidates because like they're five MLAs for each Westminster constituency that's elected to Stormont. And they usually put forward only four candidates for each of those parties, maybe even three, but they could do less. And so they could work with each other rather than against each other. There are no important policy differences. There are no differences of principle between them. I really do not, for the life of me, don't understand why they would merge and come up with a new party like Ulster Democratic Unionist Party. I mean, the DP used to put the word Ulster on the front instead, or I don't know, United Democratic Unionists or something like that. And I was speaking to a historian at University College Dublin, and he'd studied at Queen's, and he said, well, the thing is, the DUP, they draw votes from Presbyterians and other nonconformists, and the Alcides Party draw votes from members of the Church of Ireland a bit more. All right, but anybody can vote for anyone. There are Catholics who vote for the UUP, definitely, being UUP MLAs. Whether they, a Catholic community in Northern Ireland votes for the DUP, I don't know. I'm not aware of any, so on. But no party's ever barred people on a basis of religious denomination. So it'd be really good if they got together. What is the point of a second unionist party? It's not like they have a different viewpoint. Remember, when I went to the Good Friday Agreement, the DUP was totally against. The Ulster Unionist Party was split on the issue. But no, that's over because everybody's in favour of the Good Friday Agreement. So they really ought to get together. And this is how they're going nowhere. It seems a bit like changing deck chairs in the Titanic, that they keep having new leadership contests. What do you think? Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, George Callahan 790@gmail.com. Goodbye.